Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
Hi, welcome to Gaming Gab. It's me, Ray. And this is quite the beginning to the new chapter in 73 Dream Studios. Once again, a very heartfelt goodbye to Sicily. Not goodbye. See you later. And hopefully we will get more JP in soon. Hopefully the studio can talk to him about securing more dates. He says he's not busy, but he is a very busy gentleman. Today, Gaming Gab is going to be done solely by me, and that's perfectly fine, because you know what? It was my birthday recently, and you know what I got myself for my birthday? I finally got a PlayStation 5, and the first game I fired up on that PS5 was Spider-Man Miles Morales, and that's what we're going to be covering today, guys. It is a single-player action-adventure game, originally released November 12, 2020. It was a launch title for the PlayStation 5. It is still available on the PS4, although it's missing some pretty cool features like ray tracing and whatnot. It is developed by Insomniac Games, the developer that's also behind the Ratchet & Clank franchise. Sorry, guys. Those are the cats causing a commotion. It is developed by Insomniac Games, which also developed the Ratchet & Clank franchise. You can get Ratchet & Clank Rift Apart, also on the PS5. And it was published by Sony Interactive Entertainment. Alright, guys. I'm going to get into the full story of this game, and full spoiler warning, I'm going to dive real deep into this, and then we're also going to be covering a few points of analysis that I wanted to cover, and I've got some questions as well. Alright, so let's dive right into the story beats. We pick up the story of the Spider-Man Gameverse over a year after the first Spider-Man games and its associated DLC's conclusion. Miles has received training and is now in a makeshift costume with similar designs to Peter's. Miles and Peter patrol a police convoy carrying a payload with an unknown occupant. The payload would be compromised in midair, and while Miles attempts to help secure it, he contributes to an accident that, while non-lethal, would lead to the release of the occupant, the criminal known as Rhino. We are treated to a chase sequence where Miles follows, even attempts to steer Rhino away from as much people as possible. After getting him to an abandoned Roxxon facility, Miles would discover a new ability. When he punches Rhino, there is a blast of bioelectricity accompanying it, an ability that would be dubbed Venom Blast. Peter consoles a disappointed Miles, stating that Peter wasn't the Spider-Man he is today overnight. He also states that he trusts Miles enough to let him take over protecting the neighborhood, as Peter is going on a working vacation with his girlfriend Mary Jane as her photographer in Simcaria. So, right off the bat, we're already picking up a lot of the story notes that the prior game left off on. Simcaria is, of course, the home nation of Silver Sable, one of the characters Spidey had to fight in the City Never Sleeps DLC. At this point, Miles has quite a lot, like, to deal with. It's only a little over a year later, the 2018 Spider-Man game ended in the summer, I believe. This picks up in the winter of the next year, because it's around Christmas time. I loved it. I loved the opening. It was a great opening. We already have a heavy hitter from Spider-Man's Rogues Gallery. Miles is from the Ultimate Universe in the comics, and in said Ultimate Universe, in these comic books, the Peter Parker Spider-Man has died. So a lot of Miles's Rogues Gallery is actually borrowed from Peter Parker's Rogues Gallery. And now that they are sharing a universe, both in the Gameverse and in the comics after it's been rebooted due to the Secret Wars crossover of 2015, Miles kind of has to get his own Rogues Gallery. They've been building some people up, but for this video game, we are going to be sticking with the traditional Spider-Man Rogues Gallery with a few twists here and there. Continuing the story, Miles takes time to investigate a break-in at another Roxxon facility, where he engages with a criminal group known as the Underground. After fighting them off, he returns home to his mother, Rio, his best friend and confidant, Genki, and would discover his mother had invited a friend that he had not spoken to in over a year, Finn. After saving the day by using his new Venom Blast to power the lights in his apartment complex, Miles uses the new app designed by Genki called the Friendly Neighborhood Spider-Man app. Using this app, any citizen of New York could contact Miles requesting assistance. The first person to use the app is actually Miles' uncle Aaron Davis. Aaron reports that the trains are down and he needs help investigating the cause. After stopping the underground from hacking the trains, which are actually owned in, at least in part, by Roxxon, Aaron reveals that he knows Miles is Spider-Man. After receiving this information and being assured that Aaron won't tell Rio, Miles takes time to himself. First visiting with Finn and reminiscing with her on their memories, Miles asks what happened to Finn and her brother over the year, but Finn remains tight-lipped about it. She says she has to go, but Miles says that the next time they see each other, there should be no more secrets. Miles then attends his mother's campaign rally alongside Genki, where the underground attack the Roxxon guards present at said rally. During the attack, Rio is injured, Genki helps get her to the hospital, and Miles fights the underground's leader, the Tinkerer, who Miles would unmask to find is really Finn. During this fight, Miles loses control of his Venom Blast and destabilizes the new form chemical Roxxon had been manufacturing. With all but one canister being destroyed, the underground steal the remaining destabilized canister for their own purposes. Roxxon, wishing to pin blame on Spider-Man, take aim at him, despite the protest of the civilians he had just saved. Miles discovers another new ability, though, and camouflages himself, escaping Roxxon's wrath for the moment. Miles would learn Finn's plan to demonstrate Nuform's catastrophic side effects by blowing up an empty Roxxon plaza with it, her vendetta being fueled by her desire for revenge as exposure to Nuform led to her brother's illness. Miles was able to break into a Roxxon facility and learn all of this thanks in part to his uncle Aaron, who'd admitted to being the mercenary Prowler. So, quick thing that I forgot to put in the notes there. Finn's brother, he didn't just get ill from Nuform. Her brother actually tried being a whistleblower, and he took Finn with her to the Roxxon facility to try and download some information and to stop this Nuform manufacturing. And unfortunately, Simon Krieger, the head of the very egotistical, and I'm failing to remember to pull the word from my internal dictionary, I'll say megalomaniacal, even though I feel like that's the wrong word. The egotistical and megalomaniacal CEO of Roxxon triggered a booby trap that led to Finn's brother dying in the lab. And that's an even stronger reasoning for why Finn is going against Roxxon so heavily. After following his uncle's advice using deception and subterfuge, Miles acts as a new recruit to the underground. Learning that Finn originally started separate from the underground, it was merely supplying them weapons for the fights against Roxxon. There are many in the group that look up to her and her Tinkerer persona as a leader. Acting as Spider-Man, Miles would chase Finn down as she attempted to move the new form. Finn would beat Miles and ask why she shouldn't kill him. Stating it would make his mother very upset, Miles unmasks himself so only Finn can see. Finn leaves him behind, and after discussing with Genki and Uncle Aaron, Miles decides to meet Finn on neutral ground at a church that Miles' father used to take them to. Unbeknownst to Miles, Aaron had been hired by Roxxon to locate Tinkerer, and Aaron tipped them off to the location, which would lead to Rhino, now with upgraded Roxxon armor, to subdue them both. Working together, Miles and Finn escape, also learning Miles has another new form of Venom Blast, where he can emit bioelectricity from his body in a limited radius, usually depending on how much electricity he has absorbed. After defeating Rhino, Miles looks into what Simon Krieger had been working on and discovers Simon has sabotaged the tower and the Roxxon Plaza, so that when Finn uses the new form, instead of harmlessly blowing up an empty plaza, she will destroy all of Harlem. Before Miles can warn Finn, he realizes she is about to murder Rhino and stops her. In her rage, however, Finn warns Miles to stay out of her way and proceeds to knock him out. Miles, before passing out, calls Genki for help. Genki arrives and brings Miles home, still in his suit, much to his mother Rio's shock. Upon an hour's rest, Miles tells his mother and Genki what's going to happen if he doesn't stop Finn. Rio and Genki begin to evacuate as much of Harlem as they can, while Miles seeks out Finn. Prowler would kidnap Miles, though, wishing not to lose his nephew like he lost his brother, imploring Miles to simply leave. After a fight between the two, Miles tells his uncle that he can't just leave when people need him. For those that may forget, in the 2018 Spider-Man game, Miles' father, who was a police officer, had befriended Peter Parker as Spider-Man, and Miles' father had actually died during an attack at I'm pretty sure it was a Never campaign rally, not for Rio, though, it was for something else. And yeah, the Prowler, Aaron Davis, he doesn't want to lose Miles because Miles wants to do the right thing. He tells Miles repeatedly, like, you need to leave, get the hell out of here, kid. That's what I'm going to do. That's why I'm still around. And Miles is like, I'm sorry, Uncle Aaron. I'm not like you. I can't just leave when people need me. And it was a nice way, and honestly, now that I think about it right now, it's almost like he said, with great power comes great responsibility, but without having to say it, which, kudos, because honestly, that is such an overdone line, in my opinion. After dealing with as many of the warring Roxxon guards and underground soldiers as he could, Miles attempts to talk some sense into Finn. Having been lied to repeatedly, Finn is unable to trust Miles, and driven by her desire for revenge, proceeds to fight Miles. After a long and difficult battle, Finn begins to see the damage already being done to Harlem. Miles manages to get down to the generator, and despite how strong the energy waves are, it absorbs all of the electricity. It's too much for him to handle, though, and there are too many civilians nearby for him to safely release it. Finn would then take Miles in her arms and fly them high above Harlem, asking Miles to simply let it out. Miles releases all of the bioelectricity, killing Finn. After Miles falls to the ground, citizens see his face. Rio urges Miles to leave while he can as the press are arriving. The citizens that saw his face turn and form a barrier. When asked by the press if they had seen his face, asking who he was, the people simply stated, "He's our Spider-Man." In the aftermath of 4 weeks, Roxxon faces multiple lawsuits, and Simon Kruger has been arrested after Aaron turned himself in and testified against Roxxon. Peter returned from Simcaria and congratulated Miles. Norman Osborn asked Dr. Kurt Connors to release his terminally ill son from stasis, and Miles leaves the award he and Finn won at Trinity Church, a final memento for his lost friend. Alright guys, so now I want to cover a few bullet points of analysis about things that I really enjoyed about this game. I appreciated the focus on the Harlem neighborhood. Now, the game covers the majority of New York City, but there's such a focus on Harlem because Miles and Rio have moved into his grandma's home. And so, but with Peter Parker being such a global phenomenon, it's difficult for him to maintain the friendly neighborhood feel that he had started out with. In this game, Miles actually tends to be a very helpful figure in the community, both as Spider-Man and as himself. From helping people move boxes, fixing pipelines, and helping his mother with her campaign, I honestly felt more connected to the random NPCs in this game than I ever did in the prior installment, being the 2018 Spider-Man game. Like, in this game, I was remembering people's names, I was remembering locations, like Teo's Bodega with Spider-Man the Cat, like that, with Haley the Street Artist, who's deaf. That is such a nice character. I immediately felt such great vibes from that. More on that in like 2 seconds. Because I want to take the time to point out that Miles, and this was the intention from the minute Brian Michael Bendis created him for the Ultimate Comics, Miles is a great representation for the Afro-Hispanic players. With an African-American father, who, as we said earlier, was killed in action as a police officer in the prior game, and a Puerto Rican mother who is actively trying to make a difference in her community, Miles has clear, positive role models, and has only ever wanted to follow their example. He's managed to reach out to multiple parts of his community through English, Spanish, and ASL, with my favorite encounters coming from the subtle attraction shared between him and Haley. Honestly, I felt like there was vibes, like, from the minute he first meets her, and she's like, it looks like she's leaning in, getting real close to him, and then it turns out she's trying to reach for a spray can that's, like, right next to Miles. But I was like, there's a spark there. There was some heavy eye contact. There's a spark there. Insomniac did a wonderful job putting this together and making it so I could read stuff like that from the body language. It was absolutely amazing. The game manages to evoke strong emotions. While the main story is considerably shorter than its predecessor, with Spider-Man running an average of 17 hours, Miles running an average of 7.5 hours, there's still a powerful story being told of friendship, community, and of course, responsibility. I remember in the 2018 game, spoilers for the 2018 game, heavy spoilers, Aunt May's death. Oh my god, I sobbed uncontrollably after she died, because there was a decision that had to be made. It was like Peter could have saved his Aunt May and everyone else who had been infected would die. Or he could sacrifice his Aunt May and save everyone else. And Peter knew that wasn't a decision that he could make. It was a decision that Aunt May had to make. And Aunt May revealed that she actually knew that Peter was Spider-Man, and that she knew that he knew what her decision would be. And so she passed, and I'm getting chills running up and down my spine right now, just trying to recall the emotion I had. I'm trying not to tear up. And the emotion that I felt with Finn's sacrifice, when Finn looks at her best friend and takes him in her arms, and even though just minutes earlier she was so blinded by rage, she repeatedly told him, "You're going to make me kill you. I don't want to kill you, but I will if I have to. You will not stop me." She finally like takes him in her arms, shoots up into the sky, and just tells him to let it all out, because she knows if he doesn't release this energy, he will die. And she just sacrifices herself, and I'm getting the chills all up my arms now. Oh my gosh, this was such an amazing story beat. I would honestly go back to New Game Plus just so I could watch this cutscene again. Miles, going back to the game development, Miles is animated differently from Peter to an appropriate degree. Peter, at the start of the first game, had been Spider-Man for over 8 years. Miles has had his powers for just over a year. While he's noticeably flailing his arms during web swings in the beginning, as the player continues his tale, Miles actually gains confidence, and you can notice as he begins to perform even better tricks and poses during these web swings. That was just such a nice little subtle touch that I appreciated. I was like, yeah, I'm not playing this game like I'm a veteran web swinger. Like, I'm playing this game like I'm a new guy that has a general idea of what he's doing, but not necessarily. While some may be surprised at how early the reveal for Finn being the Tinkerer was, I think it was like, I'm pretty sure it was like 2.5 hours into this game, so not even halfway, like maybe 25-30% through the game. I thought it was perfectly timed. And like, we got to know Finn, an original character. To my recollection, Finn is not in the comics at all. Finn is completely original. We get to know her long enough to learn a few quirks, and by picking up on body language that she is hiding something. We're not left waiting for so long that we already guessed it, nor are we told so quickly that we don't care. We're given enough time to understand how important Finn is, and no more. This was such an excellent stroke from the writers. Oh my gosh, I'm getting tongue-tied here. I cannot emphasize enough how beautifully done this was, because quite literally, right before he unmasked her, I was like, I wonder if Finn is the Tinkerer, because I thought Simon was going to be the Tinkerer. And that just, like, it just ended up being such a good story beat. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, it didn't happen so late that I was like, man, I already know Finn's the Tinkerer. Can we get this over with? This isn't a surprise to me. No, it was a surprise to me, because I was like, oh my god, it is Finn? Despite big-name voice actors appearing in this game, such as Troy Baker as Simon Krieger and Ashley Birch as Danica the Podcaster, it would be Najee Jeter who had received a nomination for Best Performance for his role as Miles Morales. Najee managed to bring multiple aspects of Miles' character forward, such as his swagger, the compassion in his voice when he's trying to help a cause, to his vulnerability when he's seeking out help from his confidants, and his uncle, Genki, even to Finn and his mother. There's enough crack when he's trying to be vulnerable that you understand this is a very young man. Like, he's not necessarily fully grown yet. He's still growing up, and he has such great responsibility already. This is the classic Spider-Man story that we didn't experience in the prior game because Peter Parker was already a veteran. We get to experience it here with a character that, sadly, most people don't even know about Miles yet. 2018's movie Into the Spider-Verse was what really put Miles on the map, but I loved Miles quite a bit earlier because of the comics, but Into the Spider-Verse was just a whole new world, and I'm so happy that it exposed this character, and I'm happy that this game is exposing this character. And Najee Jeter, I'm like, Insomniac, do the right thing, make sure Najee Jeter is confirmed for it to reprise his role for future installments, because this is quite an excellent voice actor for this role. I would highly recommend pursuing all side content of the game to access special features like sentimental audio tracks, mementos, new suits, and even an optional boss battle that's plenty of fun. I still have to do the New Game Plus myself, not just to rewatch all of those emotional scenes, but also because there's actually some, there's at least one suit and like three skills on the skill tree that that are locked unless you do a New Game Plus run. So I definitely need to do that. I've 100% in my first run, so, but I have to go back and do it again. So we do continue to see the same combat system that worked excellently in the prior game, and in an even bigger callback to the Arkham games. When you're in a level that where Miles and Prowler are fighting side by side, when you use a finisher, Prowler will actually tag team the opponent, which instantly made me call back to Batman Arkham Knight, where you would like get to do these tag team finishers, but depending on the level, you would be working with Catwoman, Nightwing, Tim Drake. It just instantly made me think of that. So that, like, once again, this combat system is eerily similar to the Batman Arkham games, and that's not a bad thing. That's one of my favorite combat systems in gaming. Alright, so we've covered the analysis. Now there's a few questions I need to go over. What is the future, in the future, of the Spider-Man franchise with Rocksteady Studios? Did I really say Rocksteady Studios? Yeah, no, that is completely wrong. I think I was thinking of Infamous. No, what's the future of the Spider-Man franchise with Insomniac Games? Goodness gracious. You know what? Now that I scared myself, I'm just going to fact check myself real quick here, guys. Spider-Man, Miles Morales, where are you? This is what I get for not typing things out completely. Miles Morales. Yeah, Insomniac Games. I was right, yeah. So Rocksteady is Infamous, Insomniac is Ratchet and Clank and Spider-Man. I should have trusted my gut with the first note. Anyway, so what is the future of Spider-Man franchise with Insomniac Games? I don't believe they have confirmed that there's going to be a sequel, but there's gotta be, right? We've gotten two stingers now featuring Norman Osborn and Harry Osborn, who was missing as far as anyone was concerned, but then we find out that he's actually like in a stasis tube, possibly with the Venom symbiote, but now he's out of the stasis tube, and what's going on here? Like, what are we doing? Oh my goodness. So there's gotta be a sequel. There's gotta be a sequel. How is there gonna be anything further than that? That I cannot say. Insomniac Games, they aren't afraid to make a commitment. They have committed to the Ratchet and Clank franchise pretty much since the first ever PlayStation. So over five console generations. I think that's accurate. Or maybe Ratchet and Clank started at PS2. Either way, we're still talking over 10 years put into Ratchet and Clank. I think they could do a lot in just 10 years with Spider-Man. We also have to note that Insomniac is not the only company that has had access to Spider-Man. We also have Square Enix, who at some point is going to release the Spider-Man DLC. They didn't give a date, but they're still saying 2021, expect the Spider-Man DLC to go into the Marvel's The Avengers game. I'm excited to finally play that. I still haven't played the Black Panther DLC. I gotta get on that. And also looking forward to the Guardians of the Galaxy. Marvel is branching out a lot with their video games. And honestly, if I was in the chair in Marvel Studios, I would be very happy with all the feedback that I've been getting about this game. Like, I have the page open already for Miles Morales. Let's look at scores. Like, IGN gave it a 9 out of 10. Games Radar Plus gave it 4 out of 5 stars. Game Informer gave it a 9 out of 10. GameSpot gave it 7 out of 10. Like, I'm seeing nothing but favorable reviews. I think literally the worst review on here is from The Telegraph, and they gave it 3 out of 5 stars, so translate that to a 6, which, damn, I don't really go to The Telegraph for reviews. I wonder if they're just hard asses. Oh my goodness. But yeah, so there's definitely going to be a sequel. There's definitely going to be some very emotional story beats that because two for two with whoever Insomniac is hiring for writers. I wish I looked at the credits, but like, oh my gosh. Will Peter be the star of the next game, or will we see him share the spotlight? Now that Miles has a game under his belt, are we going to get both Miles and Peter. I'm going to say that you are going to be... I'm going to predict that you are going to be strictly playing as Peter Parker for the next game. Now, here's my heavy prediction. Actually, I'm going to save my heavy prediction for this next question. What villains do we want to see in the next installment? Here's what I am predicting. All right, guys, we're going to get heavy hitters. I'm talking heavy hitters. I'm talking Blizzard. We've already gotten Kurt Connors in there. I'm talking Venom, because Harry Osborn's going to turn at some point. And most of all, I'm talking the Goblin, the Green Goblin. But I'm not talking the Green Goblin that we're used to. I'm not talking about your grandpa's Green Goblin. I'm talking about the ultimate Green Goblin. I'm talking about the giant hulking behemoth mutated form of Norman Osborn. The one that in the comics and also in the Into the Spider-Verse film kills Peter Parker. That's my heavy prediction, guys. We are going to be playing the next Spider-Man game. We're going to be playing it as Peter Parker. And either Peter is going to die after saving the day in the end of the game, and then we're going to have Miles in, like, DLC or whatnot. Or he'll die, like, maybe mid of the way through the game, and then we get Miles for the rest of the game. These are some pretty heavy predictions, especially for a studio that's only ever really done, like, I mean, I can't say they've only ever done one single player games, because Ratchet and Clank, I know it's those are single player, but there's a partner in there, especially with Rift Apart. They have started working on multiple playable protagonists, so maybe this prediction isn't too outlandish. What do you guys think? Let me know in voice messages. Let me know in the comments on the 73 Dream Studios Facebook page. Let me know in the comments on www.73dreamstudiosvarietyshow.wordpress.com. Hell, tweet me at ClarkDion on my Twitter. Do whatever it takes to get in contact with me so that I can shout out to you. And because let me tell you, other than these cats that cannot stop making noise, this job got pretty lonely real quick. Last question, how long do we have to wait for the next game? And I put a note in here, it took 4 years to make the 2018 Spider-Man. I didn't bother looking up how long it took him to make Miles Morales. I mean, I have the page up, so I have the Wikipedia up. That's right, I use Wikipedia for my fact check, because you know what? Wikipedia fact checks. They don't have it anyway. They do say that as of July 2021, the game has sold over 6.5 million copies. So the game's not even a year old yet, and they've sold over 6.5 million copies. And I'm not even sure if that's just counting physical copies or if that's also counting the digital. Because the PS5 I got's the digital only. The PS5 I got's the digital only, so I'm not contributing to disc sales at all. So if the 2018 Spider-Man is it took 4 years in development. I mean, they just finished Rift Apart. That was their latest release. So unless they have a new IP, I imagine Spider-Man is the next all hands on deck title. Oh my goodness. So if it took 4 years for the last Spider-Man game, then if we're assuming that they didn't work on it until Miles Morales, I mean, until Rift Apart released, then you're looking at 2025. But I'm going to say 20. Part of me wants to say 2023, but I feel like that would be influencing and possibly just projecting some crunch time into the universe, and I don't want to do that. I want them to take their time. I want them to make a beautiful game. I'll say 2024, and I believe 2018 Spider-Man was a summer release. Miles Morales was a late fall, early winter release. I'll say June, July of 2023, we're going to be getting the next entry of this game. Matter of fact, expect a very small teaser at the Game Awards this year. That's a bold prediction. When I say that, I don't mean gameplay footage. I mean something as simple as, hey guys, we are making this game, just so you know. This is the year we're going to release it. So when you see the Game Awards this year and you see Spider-Man 2 or whatever they're going to name it coming to you 2023 on PS5, Remember your boy. Remember your boy called it. All right, guys, I'm going to take a real quick break here, and I'll be back with the outro. Guys, we are back, and yeah, this has been quite the experience. I'm honestly still getting used to this. We're like a month into living here, but most of our recordings were done before coming here, so this is still quite the experience getting used to it. Trying to cajole the cats away from the window and all the noise making things, and doing this without a partner, but still, I got a desk now, so you know, I'm getting some upgrades. You win some, you lose some. But enough about my experience. I'm going to take a minute to plug Gaming Experience, which, if you haven't heard already, is Cicely's current project while she is away at college. She's got new episodes every Monday, so check out Gaming Experience on YouTube. At the time of recording, she's currently debuting episodes of a game called Sally Face. I've only seen the first episode so far as of this recording, because that's all that's available, and I don't ask for spoilers. Actually, if you watch Sally Face episode 1, if you listen closely, you'll hear me make a cameo in that episode. I'm not visually seen, but you will see me make a cameo appearance, but with my voice in that episode. Does that mean I'm on two shows now? Anyway, so once again, check out Cicely's Gaming Experience channel. New episodes every Monday on YouTube. And as for our show, all right, guys, next week when you hear from me, I did make this a very game-heavy month. September 14th, we're going to be covering Mystery Motel. We're going to the Mystery Motel to cover a PC game, 12 minutes. How am I going to do a PC game without Cicely, you ask? That's right, guys. Also, for my birthday, I managed to get a gaming laptop. So now I can actually cover a bit more variety of my games here. So that's something I'm looking forward to. I heard great things about 12 Minutes. So tune in next week to hear about that. The next gaming gab that I have planned is for October 5th. And that is going... And right now... card subject to change possibly, but I'm hoping to cover Returnal, another PS5 exclusive. Well, actually, that Miles wasn't a PS5 exclusive, so this would be my first PS5 exclusive. Super excited about this. Expect me to not even have this game done by the time I record, because I hear it's a bullet hell game, and I rage quit pretty hard, guys. Coming up, I'm assuming everything goes well. It's still August as I am recording this, so I'm not sure if anything's been updated. But hopefully, by the end of September, I will have some big news. It's pretty dependent on the state of the world, so, or at least the state of New England. So, I know I've been pretty vague. I'm recording a lot of this out of order, so honestly, I forget if I already announced what I'm doing. But yeah, so if I've already announced it in a prior episode, you guys already know. If not, then fuck it. I'll probably announce it next week on Mystery Motel, because I'm making a habit of making a lot of my announcements are during Mystery Motels. All right, make sure to check out the Facebook for more of the schedule. Make sure to hit up Anchor's support page so you can donate to us. Speaking of donations, I want to thank everyone who took the time to donate to Culture City last month. And honestly, don't feel like you have to like go all in on one month. You can make some small donations every month signing up, just like you can on the Anchor support page. You can support me. You can pay me some money. Maybe I'll get Pokemon cards with it. Maybe I'll get an actual studio, because 25 cents an hour just isn't cutting it. You know, I mean, you guys could also sign the petition for a raise, because I'm a one-man crew now, guys. JP's a free agent. He don't help with the setup. Much love to JP. But oh yeah, speaking of which, when's the next time I have JP on the show? I'll leave that as a surprise for you guys, so you guys can love it when you see him again. But yeah, I'm super excited for all the amazing things to come. I got the PS5, going to be game heavy, but I am going to still send much respect to my wrestling fans. I know it's been a long time. Well, it's been 2 weeks since I recorded Grappling with Rey for SummerSlam 2021. But I'll have a Grappling with Rey at the end of the month. I'll promise you that. Come hell or high water, there will be a Grappling with Rey on September 28th. So with that said, I hope you guys enjoy everything that we're doing. I'm on Twitch now, so if you guys want to see me game live, definitely do that. It's rdog20. Check out the Facebook, check out Gaming Experience, check out rdog20. We're not necessarily under the studio umbrella, but we are growing as individuals and we are growing our brand. So much love, enjoy the rest of your day, and good game. God, that's why I need JP to remind me to say good game. Good game, everyone.